how he gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about his groaning, of his precious blood atoning. Then I repented of my sins and won the victory. My Savior forever. He sought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is to him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing. I heard about his healing, of his cleansing power revealing, how he made the lame to walk again, and he caused the blind to see. And then I cried, dear Jesus, come and heal my broken spirit. And somehow Jesus came and brought to me the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me sing up there the songs of victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is to him. Plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. I heard about his healing, of his cleansing power revealing, how he made the lame to walk again, and he caused the blind to see. And then I cried, dear Jesus, come and heal my broken spirit. And somehow Jesus came and brought to me the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is to him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing.
There's nothing a minister can preach on that can set more fire to your heart if you'll listen than the mighty power and person of the Holy Ghost. The mighty power and person of the Holy Ghost. I want to preach this morning on the river is flowing for you. The river is flowing for you. Will you listen carefully this morning? Will you listen carefully and let the word of God really speak to your heart? The river is flowing for you. And I happen to know something about probably everybody in this building. At least something little and sometimes big. And there's a need. There's never been an hour when men have needed this river in their soul like they need it in this hour. Never been a day. Your praying is of little value until you're full of the Holy Ghost, until you pray in the power of the Holy Ghost. Praying is just like preaching. Preaching that has no anointing does you no good. May tickle your ears. You may learn a little something. But preaching that's anointed by the Holy Ghost will bless you. It'll do things for your life. And so is praying. Praying by the Holy Ghost will make something out of you. It'll change everything about you. It'll wake you up. And you'll become a person in love with God's fire. Now go with me this morning to the book of Isaiah. The book of Isaiah chapter 44. The book of Isaiah chapter 44. I've never read this text in a sermon in my life before. But it is equal to the great text in St. John chapter 7. St. John 7, 37 is really a quotation that comes out of this chapter. John 7, 37, we'll read that next, is a quotation, words of Jesus, that came from prophecy that the Holy Ghost gave us through Isaiah. Let me read it to you. The book of Isaiah, chapter 44, and verse 2. Thus saith the Lord that made thee and formed thee from the womb, which will help thee. Fear not, O Jacob, my servant, and thou Jeshurun, whom I have chosen. Jeshurun is used this scripture one time in the Bible. It was kind of a love name given to Jacob. A love name given to Jacob. Never used again in the Bible, this one time. And thou Jeshurun, whom I have chosen. See, God is talking to people whom he's chosen. How many of you are saved? Raise your right hand. What does that mean? That means God has chosen you. God has chosen you. You can't be saved if he doesn't choose you. Verse 3. For I will pour water upon him that is thirsty, and floods upon the dry ground. I will pour my spirit upon thy seed, and my blessing upon thine offspring. Now he's talking about a river. And Jesus proves in quoting this that he was talking about the Holy Ghost. Talking about the Holy Spirit coming with power to satisfy your life. And they shall spring up as among the grass, as willows by the watercourses. Listen, he's talking about what happens to people who are full of this water that comes in the blessing and baptism of the Holy Ghost. He's talking about how they are blessed and become like willows planted by the rivers, the watercourses, where there's plenty of substance for them. One shall say, I am the Lord's. Anybody here would like to say that? Anybody else? I will say it for me. I am the Lord's. I am the Lord's. I don't belong to Joe Chambers. Nor do you. Delighted to be your pastor. But I'm not one that is to be, you know, subject in a way that I forget my calling. Forget my devotion. One shall say, I'm the Lord's. Another shall call himself by the name of Jacob. And another shall subscribe with his hand unto the Lord. And surname himself by the name of Israel. I am a Jacob. I am an Israel. Oh yeah, I'm an Israel. I'm a Jew. Not by birth, but by His calling, His anointing, His love. I've inherited every blessing that belongs to Israel by the name of Jesus. Thus saith the Lord, the King of Israel, and His Redeemer, the Lord of hosts. Listen to that. Thus saith the Lord, the King of Israel, and His Redeemer. Look at that. The Father is saying, listen now, you got to hear this. Thus saith the Lord, the King of Israel. That's God. And His Redeemer, the Lord of hosts. That's His Messiah, His Christ. I am the first, and I am the last, and beside me there is no God. Isn't that beautiful? Isn't that beautiful? Anybody hear what I just read? I'm going to take a moment here. I want you to hear what I just read. I want you to get God by the Holy Ghost speaking and brings His Son in the conversation. And He tells us that He's going to pour water on the thirsty. And waters on the dry ground. If you got a dry soul this morning, I'm here to tell you God wants to pour some Holy Ghost water on it. God wants to wake you up, and God wants to stir you up, and God wants to make a mighty servant of His out of you. Anybody listening? Oh, God is mighty to save. Now, keep that marked, okay? And go with me to John 7. St. John chapter 7, and hear the words of Jesus as He repeats in a different language, a different language, that had spoken in Hebrew, Jesus is speaking in Greek. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, remember, Isaiah said thirsty, here it says thirst, let him come unto me and drink. Let him come unto me and drink. Hallelujah. I'm trying to get your attention this morning. You've been very, very quiet. Very, very quiet. I know it's been a busy week and you've carried a burden. You've had a lot of work to do. You didn't even want to get up this morning. You wanted to stay in the bed. Anybody felt that? It's okay. Sometimes I feel it. I just don't listen to it. You make sure you don't listen to it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture have said. Notice that, as the scripture have said. That's what sent me to Isaiah this morning, to read what the scripture had said. Because Jesus is making reference to Isaiah 44, talking about that same river, that same outpouring of water that satisfies the thirsty. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Ooh. Hallelujah. His Holy Ghost is here this morning. Some of you haven't felt that yet, or discerned that yet, but He's here. Out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Rivers of living water. Now notice, but this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him shall receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. So Jesus is telling them about what is about to happen. He's telling them about the day of Pentecost. He is telling them that when Pentecost comes, you're going to get a river of living water. It's going to water your dry ground. It's going to satisfy your soul. You're going to be walking around saying, I am the Lord's. I belong to Jacob. I am of Israel. I belong to the family of God. Hallelujah. That's what He's doing. He's preparing us. Understand this river. And this river is flowing right now. I'm in it. Praise God, I've been in it all week. Hallelujah. And I'm in it this morning. I thank God for this river. Now I'm preaching the river flowing. But I'm stopping there for you. Everybody that's part of the you in this building. For you. Anybody else? But my, oh, yes, brother. Yeah, there's a few other people. Part of the you. The river is flowing for you. The river is flowing for you. Father, help your servant to preach this morning with all I've got. Let your anointing be upon us. Open our hearts. Awake us. Awake my congregation. Awake those that are just there but not really in the spirit. Awake them, Lord. And let them realize this river is for them. This river is for them. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And you may be seated. Anyone this morning, anyone in this building listening to me, that does not have a river of blessings in your life, the Lord is sending this to you. He wants you to have a river of living water flowing out of your innermost being. He uses the term belly because it is the center of the human body. It is the center of the human frame. And he wants to fill you from beginning to end, from your belly to your head, to your feet. He wants you to have a river of living water. He really does. Now, to begin with, let me spend a little time trying to give you a portrait, a word portrait of the person of the Holy Spirit. A word portrait of the person of the Holy Spirit. A mosaic, if you please. That you can somehow see to whom this river flows from. If you can somehow see the source of this river. If you can somehow grasp what and who brings to us a river of living water. Now, I've got a number of words that are beautiful words. And with them, I want to try to give you a picture of this Holy Spirit that is the source of this river of living water. You got to understand, a river could not come out of just accidental events. A river could not come out of no-name beings. A river could not flow out of someone of limited power and limited ability. You got to understand, this river flows from a member of the divine Godhead. And it's awesome. Number one, the word fire. This person of the Holy Ghost is fire. I said he's fire. He's not a little picnic fire. He's a barn fire. He's a mighty fire. He's a life-altering fire. The Holy Ghost is a mighty fire. He is, number two, he is a baptism. The Holy Ghost did not come just to influence upon you. He came to influence within you. He came to baptize you. The Holy Ghost is a baptism. A baptism is a word for submerge. Being submerged under and within the power of this mighty person. The Holy Ghost is a baptism. He's a fire, but he's a baptism. Then he's a comforter. He's a comforter. He feels the weight of your burden. He feels the trouble of your day. He feels the strong apprehensions of your facing tomorrow. He's a comforter, and he came to comfort you. He came to comfort you. He's omnipresent. Now, this word's not in the Bible. But the picture is, David said, if I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. He said, if I take the wings of the morning and move to the outermost parts of the earth, he says, there he'll be. There he is. Because he's omnipresent. See, the Holy Ghost is fire. He's a baptism in which you are submerged. He's a comforter that loves and is tender in your burdens. And then he's omnipresent. You can't go somewhere without him. If you're full of him, everywhere you go, he is. Not only is he in you, but he's with you, and he's around you, and he protects you. He's omnipresent. Hallelujah. You are living within the shadow of the omnipotence of God when you're full of the Holy Ghost. When you're full of the Holy Ghost. And then he is an anointing. He is an anointing. You see, you are flesh. And the anointing comes upon you at interval. It actually lives in you. But he acts forth out of you and manifests himself at times of your labor and your work for him. When you start praising him, he'll anoint you to praise him. If some of you knew what would happen if you got your hands out of your lap, got your hands out of your lap, and got your hands freely lifted and freely praising him, he would anoint your praises. God anoints praises. When you start praising God, the Bible said he inhabiteth our praises. He dwells within our praises so that we begin to praise him. Now listen, don't forget these words, the words. The first is fire. Then he's a baptism. Then he's a comforter. And then he's omnipresent. Are you listening to me? He's everywhere. You can't go anywhere without him. He's right there. You're in his presence. Hallelujah. And then he's an anointing. He comes upon you. He comes to anoint you to praise him. He wants this house to sound with praises. He's told us that. Fill the house with praise. I challenge every one of you in the building to lift up a right hand and say praise to the Lord with all your heart. Come on, do it again. Do it two or three times. I can feel it happening. When you start praising him, something begins to take place. When you begin to praise him, something begins to take place. Something begins to happen. I feel something I hadn't felt since I walked in those doors. Because we're praising him. God wants you to praise him. He will anoint your praises. He will anoint your praises. Woo! Hallelujah. I wish I could keep you praising a few minutes. Would you come on and just praise him? Just love him. Magnify him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He'll anoint your praises. He'll anoint your praises. Oh, he will. He will, Brother Hope. He will, Sister Lisa. He will, family. Hallelujah. So he's an anointing. Now, I'm trying to paint a picture. I started with fire. I then moved to baptism. I then moved to comforter. Then I moved to omnipresent. Then I've come to anointing. Anointing. Now, don't expect me to remember them all when I get through, because I may not. But I want to tell you something. He's all of that and more still. I've just given you a little bit of the mosaic. I've just painted a little picture for you. I want you to get the whole picture, because I'm dealing with him who is eternal. I'm dealing with him who is sovereign. I'm dealing with him who is a member of the triune Godhead. He's the Holy Spirit, and everything God is and Jesus is, the Holy Ghost is. You get the picture? Somebody raise their hand again and say praise to the Lord. Bellow it out. Will you bellow it out? Praise to the Lord. Praise to the Lord. Hallelujah to the Lord. Oh, but let me move on. Hallelujah. The next word is he's a convictor of sin. He's a convictor of sin. If he lives in you, you can't get away with nothing. If you can lie and not feel like a dog, you don't have him. If you can curse and swear and not be sad and broken by your action, he's not there. If you can be disrespectful to the house of God and to the man of God and not be wounded by it, he's not there. He's a convictor of sin. Are you getting the picture? Fire, baptism, comforter, omnipresent, anointed, and now a convictor of sin. Anybody got it? We're talking about a person. He's all of this. I'm trying to give you a mosaic of what he represents, what he is, how you can think of him. If you will think of all these things, and over the next week, if day by day you will meditate on everything the Holy Ghost is, and try to get this picture in your mind and in your heart, this mosaic of this great person, the Holy Spirit. this great person, the Holy Spirit. We're going to talk in a moment about a river of water flowing from him, a river of life. We're going to talk in a moment about the mighty, mighty power of that river. We're going to talk about how it can flow through a community and everybody begins to fall into conviction and begin to feel the weight of their sins. It can flow through a church until that church becomes a mighty house of God. But we got to understand who he is, what he represents, convictor of sin. But then he's a convictor of righteousness. He's a convictor of righteousness. He'll teach you how to live. You don't have to have me telling you what you shouldn't do. You just get full of the Holy Ghost and he'll tell you what you shouldn't do. We have churches that all they do is tell the sinner what's wrong with them. I'm here to tell you, Jesus needs to do that, not me. I don't mind preaching against anything that's sin. I don't mind telling you anything the Bible condemns. But I'm not here. I can't convict your heart. I can only convict your head. He can convict your heart. Would you hear that with me? He can convict your heart. He'll move on the inside. Brother Hope, he'll teach you the way to live. He'll teach you things you need to put aside. He'll teach you things you need to get out of your conversation. He'll teach you places you don't need to go. He'll teach you actions that you don't need to have. He's a convictor of sin, but he's a convictor of righteousness. He don't just show you what's wrong. He shows you what's right. Woo, I like that. He don't just show you what's wrong. He shows you what's right. Are you getting my mosaic? Are you getting my picture? Word pictures. Nothing is more beautiful than word pictures. I love them. I've been studying words all my Christian walk. I love to preach on words. We had a man that stood up in our retreat this week and just talked about grace. Great. G-R-E-A-T. Great. Turned the place upside down. Oh, it was beautiful. Just the word great. They only had 10 minutes. But he preached the sermon, and he's great. Would somebody say, the Holy Ghost is great? Come on, say it. The Holy Ghost is great. He's a convictor of righteousness. And then he's a convictor of judgment to come, the Bible says. He will make you feel how close you are to facing God. He'll make you feel how the judgment is right on the verge. Right before our eyes. This world is fixing to face things like it's never faced before. Are you getting the word? If I didn't do anything this morning but get you to hear and see and feel this mosaic, I want you to go a little further now. Convict of judgment, but he's a tender, compassionate spirit. He comes to find the wounded, that he can pour grace into the wounded heart. Are you hearing me? Are you hearing me? He comes to pour grace into the wounded heart. He comes to find the little student, the little girl, or the young boy who has been wounded by things in their life, or in their daily experiences, maybe in their school, wherever. And he comes to heal up that wound because he's tender and compassionate. He's tender and compassionate. Are you getting the picture? Are you getting the picture? I want you to name these things with me, would you? We're talking about the person of the Holy Ghost. And number one, he's what? Thank you. He's number two, baptism. Baptism. Number three, he's a comforter. Number four, he's omnipresent. Omnipresent. Number five, he's anointing. I like that. He's an anointing. And number six, he's the convictor of sin. Number seven, he's the convictor of righteousness. Number eight, he's the convictor of judgment to come. But number nine, he's tender in all of that. Think of a blessed woman, a lady, a precious man who has so much compassion. They can weep with the drop of a hat for somebody that's hurting. They can feel the burden and the pain of somebody that's sick. They are tender and they're compassionate. And they don't just wound them with additional wound, but they show them love and they show them compassion. Oh, he's tender. That's number nine. He's tender. I promise you, the Holy Spirit is tender and compassionately. He seeks to come to you. Compassionately, he seeks to make himself real to you. Hallelujah. And he is finally the intercessor. He takes everything he is and everything you need. And he bears it with tender hands and lips to the Father, to tell the Father what your burdens are. Right now, the Holy Spirit is moving in this building, and somebody has got a hurting heart. I've had a real wound. I've had to handle all week this week. Nobody knows about it but me and God. Nobody knows about it but me and God. But I have a wound that I've had to carry this week long. It has been overwhelming to me. It has been overwhelming to me. I don't know how to express it to you. I wouldn't dare tell you what it is. It's just been a wound that has been, acted upon and against me. And it's been so hurtful. It's been so wounding. But I want to tell you, there's the Holy Ghost that sees. And Kikahoshama. Oh, hallelujah. Somebody help me. Praise him and bless the name of the Lord. He is the intercessor, and he'll take your burden if you won't run your mouth too much and take it out of his hand. He'll take your burden and he'll take it right to God. He's got somebody's burden in his hand right now. Who is it? Hallelujah. Somebody with a really heavy burden. Raise your hand. Raise your hand, a heavy burden. Raise it up high, a heavy burden. Anybody else? I see hands all over. Oh, raise them up high. Now, God, by the Holy Ghost, I believe you to sweep down in every one of these lives. And take that burden and bear it. He don't take it to heaven. He takes it to the throne room. Did you hear what I said? He don't just take it to heaven. He takes it to the throne room. Now, I'm trying to get past this mosaic, but I want you to see the Holy Spirit. Is anybody can raise a hand and say, I love that picture? Let me see your hand. Do you love that mosaic of the Holy Spirit? Do you see what I've been trying to say? Can you put all of those wonderful adjectives and symbols in a picture, in a frame, and say, that's mine to hold for the rest of my life? I'll never forget what the Holy Spirit is. I'll never forget the beauty of it, the glory of him, the majesty of him. And he's sovereign. And at the end of it all, he's tender. He's tender, and he bears it to the Father. Woo, hallelujah. Oh, help me, church. Let's talk now about that river. The river. The Holy Spirit is not an absent landlord. He's not an absent sovereign power. He's not an absent comforter. He's not sitting somewhere in heaven awaiting to feel the weight of your load. He walks with you. He walks near you. He will not leave you nor forsake you, the Bible says, but go with you all the way, even to the end of the world. Hallelujah. When Sister Chambers was dying, she said to me, Dad, I want to hear hear God talking again. I knew what she was saying. I went over and laid my hands on her. And wept with her. And she began to pray in another language. She began to pray in another language. She wanted to hear the Holy Ghost talking again. Hallelujah. I want to tell you something. He's tender. He is this living river. He is this water that never runs dry. He is this well springing up in your very being. Now, let me just take you for a moment back to those things in Isaiah. He said he pours water upon him that is thirsty. Pours water. That sounds like more than just a drop, don't it? Pours water upon him is thirsty. He puts floods on the dry ground. His spirit pours upon the dead or the deeds of man. His spirit pours upon their head. Hallelujah. He's a blessing of your offsprings. He is the well springing up among the grasses. And he is a willer by the water course. All of that's what Isaiah said. It's thrilling. Chapter 44. Start with verse 3. Go read it this afternoon. He is a well of living water. He is water poured upon the ground. He is water running by the willows so that they spring up and grow and are beautiful. He is a literal river of living water. But then I love what Jesus said. He said, out of your belly shall flow rivers. Have you ever seen a river 2 inches deep and 3 inches wide? Have you ever seen a river that's only about a foot deep and a couple of feet wide? We call them creeks. We don't call them rivers. What do we call a river? I don't know what the actual decided line is. But I guarantee you one thing. When it's called a river, it's flowing big and wide. And there's plenty of water to take a bath in. There's plenty of water to submerge yourself in. There's plenty of water to satisfy every need of your life. He said rivers of living water springing up within your heart. Hallelujah. I've got to have that river as never before. He wants to fill you so full of this river that literally it springs up inside of you. And you become a living vessel with a little excitement and a little joy. Hallelujah. Somebody that wants a river, stand up right quick and tell him, I'm candidate, Father. I want this river. I want this river. I want this river. I will not be satisfied until there's a river flowing out of my innermost being. You understand why I'm happy and I'm shouting hallelujah. Somebody say praise the Lord. I'm not a creek saint. I'm a river saint. Hallelujah. I'm not a creek saint. I'm a river saint. I'm not a springs a saint. I'm a river saint. Hallelujah. I just moved from being an ocean saint, if you challenge me a little bit. Hallelujah. Somebody say a river of living water springing up within. A river of living water springing up within. God wants you to have a river. And Jesus said, you may be seated if you believe. If you believe. And then he identified it. Take that beautiful picture of the Holy Ghost and put it now right there at your heart and say, a river flowing from the Holy Ghost. If the Holy Ghost is everything I just told you he is, and he is, then he wants to give you a river. And it will change everything about you. You'll be a different saint. You'll sing different. You'll pray different. You'll shout different. You'll clap your hands different. You'll be so transformed. And there's a bunch of you. You really need it. You need a river. I'm your pastor. I don't know the preacher coming in here telling you that. They're not pastors. I'm the pastor. And I'm here to tell you, I love you. But there's some of you that are desperate for a river. You've been satisfied with your little spring, your little creek. Your little creek's too long. It's time you got a burden for a river. It's time you got a burden for something that would set you on fire. This time you got hungry for something that would make you to be a little spring of living waters. The Bible speaks of that. A spring of living water. God wants you to be alive. God wants you to be alive. Raise your hand over there, James. I want James to be alive. I'm not saying you're not already. I'm just telling you, I want this life. I want you full of this life. I want you full of this wonderful river of living water flowing out of your innermost being. Woo! Hallelujah. Somebody says, I'm too loud. Well, you get a river inside of you and you'll be too loud. Hallelujah. Are you listening to me? Oh, praise the Lord. When people fuss at me about being too loud, I try not to say nothing, but I just try to keep on acting like I'm supposed to act. Hallelujah. So you're really wasting your time. Could I tell you? I'm going to be a river. I'm going to be a river. I'm going to be a river flowing from his veins. I'm going to be a river. I'm going to be a river. Somebody sing it with me. I'm going to be a river flowing from the mighty power of the Holy Ghost. I'm going to be a river that God can flow through me and touch people wherever I go. It doesn't matter where it is. I want God to use me to bless people. He's a big God. Woo! Somebody who wants a river, raise your hand and say, I'm not going to quit praying till God gives me a river. Will you say that? I'm not going to quit praying till God gives me a river. Now listen. Let me tell you who gets this river. Thirsty. What does he say? Isaiah said it and Jesus said it. He that's thirsty. If you're not thirsty, you aren't going to get nothing from this river. If you're not thirsty, you're going to just sit there and wither. That's what you're going to do. And you know what Christians that wither do? They become complaining. They begin to find fault. They begin to criticize others. They begin to say this is wrong and that's wrong, and this is out and that's out. And they, I mean, you cannot get empty of the moving of the Holy Spirit without something within you reacting carnally and fleshly. It's just automatic. I've met some of the most crude people in my life right in the middle of the church. I have been wounded all week this week, and it didn't come from the world. It really didn't. But that's okay. God's in charge. You know what the Bible says? The Bible says if you contend with me, he'll contend with you in my stead. And so I'm going to keep my mouth shut. Oh, yeah, now you need to do the same. I'm your example. Everybody gets wounded sometime. Raise your hand if you've ever been wounded. Come on, raise it way up high. Now, can you claim God to deal with your wounds and give you a miracle? Let me see your hand. God, deal with me and give my wounds a miracle. Give my wounds a miracle. Now, let's go to the word thirsty. See, this sermon is really about words to a great degree. First, of course, was the Holy Spirit. Second was this river. And now third is thirsty. What does it mean to be thirsty? I've never wanted to understand the word so much in my life as I've wanted to understand this word. And I've been digging. And there's three things I want to tell you about this word. It's desperate. When you're thirsty, you're desperate. Number three, when you're thirsty, you have parched lips. Parched lips. Number three, you get dehydrated. Three things that happens to a thirsty person. Are you listening to me? Three things. Are you listening? I want you to hear me. Three things. Number three is you get dehydrated. Number one is desperate. I don't remember ever being so thirsty for anything but God that made me desperate. I've worked hard and got, you know, perspired until all the moisture was gone. But I could go and drink enough water to a few minutes, I'm fine. I don't ever remember. How many remember getting so thirsty you were desperate? Let me see your hand. Anybody here ever been so thirsty? You've been so thirsty you were desperate. One person? Anybody else? You've been so thirsty you were desperate. Well, he says the thirsty. If you're going to get this river, let me tell you what's going to happen to you. You're going to get desperate. If you are satisfied, and you see, this happens at our retreat year by year, and that was spoken to this week very strongly. You go to this retreat, and you get so stirred until you absolutely feel like you've been totally transformed. And then you leave there, and you get so busy that you don't dig and stay on your face with God. I promise you that Thursday morning, I was on my face with God. I promise you that Friday morning, I was on my face with God. I promise you that Saturday morning, I was on my face with God. I promise you that this morning, I was here a few minutes after 6 o'clock to get on my face with God. I'm thirsty. I'm not just thirsty. I'm desperately thirsty. I am desperately thirsty. I want to be filled with water just so I can bless you. I want every one of you to get so blessed by the word of God coming out of this water-filled man until you will praise him and shout hallelujah. So you got to be desperate if you're really thirsty. Then you got to remember dry lips. I've never had my lips so dry. It was like they were parched. I mean, just literally just almost knitted together. But I want to get that way for God. Hallelujah. I want to get so desperate until my lips are so full of yearnings and praises and hallelujahs and then dehydrated. And that word dehydrated really got a hold of me. I began to dig into that word, and medically there are 10 things that happens in a dehydrated person. I want to give them to you. They had bad breath. They are constipated. They are craving sweet things. They get dizzy. They have dry skin. They start feeling cold. They get headaches. They get irritable. I know a lot of people like that, don't you? You know anybody that's thirsty enough to be irritable? Irritable. And then muscles begin to cramp. And finally they become sleepy. This is a person who has dehydrated. Those 10 things that medical science says happens to those people. And see, let's take every one of them and give them a spiritual interpretation. Could we? Could we give? I'm not going to try to do that, all 10 of them, but just take those 10 words and give them a spiritual interpretation. Irritable. Huh? You've heard that, haven't you? You ever seen anybody get irritable right in the middle of the church? You ever seen that? When you do, there's something wrong. They haven't had enough water. They haven't been to the Holy Ghost long enough. They haven't got full enough with the Spirit. And they're irritable. And you can take every one of those words and give them a spiritual meaning and find out when you are really thirsty and you haven't really had a drink of Holy Ghost river and you haven't really become full of the Holy Ghost like you ought to be. You can take all of those 10 words and give them a physical translation and they fit. Everything goes all backwards. Anybody here that's thirsty for the real? Let me see your hand. I'm thirsty, Brother Chambers. I've got to have a move of the Holy Ghost like I have never had. And I will not slack. I will not slow. I will not back. I will not do anything but move on until I am filled with a river flowing from the throne room of God. I'm hungry for that river. I'm hungry for that river. I know it's almost 12 o'clock, I'm sure. But I'm here to tell you, church, God wants to pour His Spirit up. Oh, no. It's only 11, though, in the other side of the Mississippi, so don't worry. All right, I'm going to end it. Turn to Jeremiah 29 and 13. Turn to Jeremiah, everybody, 29 and 13. How many of you want to be thirsty enough to get all that God has? Jeremiah 29 and 13. I memorized this scripture. Now, you got to hear this because it thrilled me this morning. I memorized this scripture when I was working at Western Electric 60-some years ago. I wrote it in the palm of my hand and took it to work with me. And I quoted it. I quoted it until I knew it. And this morning, I'm sitting here. What is the way to end this sermon? And I heard it in my head. I heard it in my head. Read it.
And ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart.
You shall seek me and find me when you shall search for me with all your heart. Jeremiah 29:13. I memorized it 60-some years ago. I haven't quoted it in years on top of years. I hadn't even thought about it. And I'm sitting there where Marlon is sitting. And here came that scripture. Here came that scripture. I looked for it and couldn't find it. I called Ken Harris and I said, Ken, you got to find a scripture for me. I can't remember where it was. I can't find it. I quoted it precisely, but I couldn't remember where it was. In a moment I had it. You shall seek me and find me when you shall search for me with all your heart. Woo! Where can I find that river? Where can I find that river? Brother Chambers, I've got to have that river. You shall seek him and find him when you search for that river. With all your heart. When you'd rather have that river than anything this world's got. You'd rather have that river than anything there is on the face of God's earth. I gotta have that river. I gotta have that river. Flowing out of my innermost being. Flowing from my belly. That river that gives me joy unspeakable and full of glory. Peace that passeth all understanding. And John 10, abundant life. I gotta have that river. I gotta have that river. You shall have that river when you search for him and seek him with all your heart. Would you stand? Would you stand? Oh, Roshovic. Holy Ghost, these are my people. And I love every one of them. Three of my teachers are here this morning. Three of my teachers are here this morning. And I love them. They are doing a magnificent job in that classroom. Somebody help me. And I believe they want this river. Don't you, Sister Lisa? Don't you, Sister Leona, something like that? Hallelujah. Don't you, Sister Ginger? Hallelujah. I want this river. I got to have this river. Would you raise a right hand or both hands and reach up to God for a few minutes? Father, I got to have that river. My church has got to have that river. The mosaic I see of the Holy Spirit leaves me without one iota of a question. He's fully able. He's fully able. Do you understand? The Holy Ghost is fully able to flow that river through you. The Holy Ghost is fully able. He's tender. He's gentle. He's compassionate. He wants you to have that river. The Holy Ghost wants to pour that river in you. The Holy Ghost wants to pour that river in you. Raise your hand way up high if you want it. You got to want it. How many of you are absolutely thirsty for it? I feel like that I'm going to die if he don't fill me with the Holy Ghost beyond anything I've ever known. I am determined. I am hungry. I am thirsty. Nothing's going to stop me. Can you say that? How about everybody here saying nothing's going to stop me? Thank you, Brother Marlon. Anybody else want to say nothing's going to stop me? Come on, say it out loud. Are you a Pentecostal or what? Say it out loud for me, would you? Thank you. Nothing's going to stop me. Nothing's going to stop me. I'm going to have that river. I'm going to have that river. I'm sorry I preached a little extra. I didn't mean to, but that mosaic of the Holy Ghost got a hold of me. I want you to never forget what he is. I want you to remember every one of those things about him. He's an anointed upon your praises. You praise him like you should, and that'll open the door into his holy presence. Praise the name of the Lord. I'm hungry this morning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I don't know if there's someone in this building unsaved, but I must take a moment to find out. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Are you unsaved in here this morning? And would you like to have Christ in your life? Let me see your hand if you would. You're unsaved and you're desperate for Christ in your life. Is there anybody? I'm looking. Are you desperate? Are you desperate? Someone was blessed and renewed last Sunday, and he's here this morning, and it's beautiful. I love it. I love it. I love it. All right. Every one of you that want a river, I want to ask you to raise your hand and just stand there before us, if you would, Sister. If you would, Sister Angel, would you play for us? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Sister Yvette, I want you to come and sing, "Just As I Am Without One Plea, But That Thy Blood Was Shed For Me." You see, the blood is spilled for every need you have. The blood will sanctify you. The blood will fill you with life. The blood will set you on fire. Oh, everybody praying with Brother Chambers, if you don't mind. Father, thank you for preaching this word this morning. I trust that they will never forget this river, that they will know it's a river that waters everything of our life. It will water the dry ground. It will water the dry soil. It will water the dry heart. It will give us such joy and such delight singing for the glory of the King. The Lord be praised.
Just as
that's all God wants you to do is just be yourself. Don't put on no air. Don't tell him you're something you're not, but just as I am. Your pastor comes to him just as I am. I'm still so human. I'm still so human. And as I get older,
would not satisfy, but then I heard my Savior speaking, "Come to the well that never shall run dry, fill my cup, Lord."